Our first storyteller here after intermission is a Youth Initiative student who just realized how many people he's talking in front of. I just realized that. And is probably looking for an exit. You'll see exits over here. Get ready for an old family legend that is a journey both literally and figuratively. The title of his story is called The Red Thread. Please welcome Max Moon.
All right, a couple things you should know about me before I get started. I'm feeling a little bit sick right now, so I apologize if my voice isn't the best. And I'm an introvert, so I'm terrified right now. Thank you. Okay, so the story I'm about to tell isn't actually mine. It's over 100 years old. It's been passed down through my family for generations. It was not the easiest to like track together. I talked to my dad. He told me to talk to my grandma. I talked to her. And eventually I was put in touch with a distant cousin, and I landed on the story I'm about to tell you today. It's a story about adventure, it's a story about hardship, and ultimately, it's a story about love. We start in the late 1800s in a small town in Switzerland called Bonnigen. At the time, this town was very poor, and this was where my great-great-grandfather Rudolph was born. His family, like most families there, was, like I said, very poor, and used to play with all of the other kids, right? In particular, one kid a couple years younger than him, a girl named Elizabeth. You might want to remember her for later. As he grew up, he sort of began to realize that he couldn't stay in Bonnigen. He looked around, and there wasn't much opportunity for him, and he began to hear stories about America, and one place in particular, called the Gallatin Valley, really caught his interest. It had rolling hills and immense forests, just like the home he loved so much. So when he was 20, he waved his family goodbye and made the 2-month journey from Switzerland to America. As soon as he got there, he headed straight to the Gallatin Valley and a small town there. He found a pretty big community of German and Dutch, which was actually great because he didn't speak any English at all. He looked around, he saw farmers were doing very well there, but he didn't want that life for himself. He was really only interested in one thing, making liquor. A wealthy German family bankrolled him, and soon the Tivoli bar was up and running. Apparently, he was also a little bit of a loan shark. Records in his will showed hundreds of pages of people that owed him pretty detailed amounts of money. And there's also a couple of stories that the bar had some gambling going on that apparently was pretty lucrative. So, quite the mischievous man. Business was booming. He brought his 4 younger brothers over from Switzerland. They helped with the bar and eventually put down roots, settled, started making connections, families. And at this point, great-great-grandpa Rudolph had almost everything he wanted. He had family, he had friends, he had money, but he was missing one really important thing, and that was love. He would find the solution to his problem very unexpectedly on a trip back to Switzerland. It was one of the only trips he would make, and while he was there, he was talking with family, talking with old friends, and he heard mention of that girl, Elizabeth, from earlier, and that she had moved to America and was working for a very, very wealthy family in New York. This really excited him because none of the women back home spoke his language, and those who did, he really didn't have any interest in. So as soon as he got back home, he started writing her letters. The two talked for years this way, and they really hit it off, once he even made the journey all the way across the country to come and visit her. He knew what he wanted at this point. Rudolph waited for a little while, and after debating it inside his head for a bit, he sent a letter asking her to marry him. Her response was simple. She knew that she loved him, but she really only had one question, and that was, where would she live? He responded to this by building her a house. They were happy. Everything was going great. They arranged for their families to meet with them in San Francisco, which at the time was the easiest place to get by boat from Switzerland. But something happened that would make Elizabeth's departure from New York much, much earlier than expected. This is where the family records sort of get murky. Nobody knows what happened, but the conditions that Elizabeth had were worsening. There was tell that the family was mistreating her. Some say she was even physically abused by them, but something happened, one big culminating event, one big thing that caused her to leave. There's even stories that it involved the murder. She made her way down by train to Panama and then up to San Francisco, which was the fastest way to get there. And I can only imagine how scared and just not knowing what she would have, what was to do, how she would have felt. I mean, she didn't have any way to get in contact with Rudolph at the time. So once she was in San Francisco, she was lucky enough to find an old German lady, and she stayed with her until Rudolph and both of their families could arrive. And finally, that invisible thread, the red thread crossing across the whole map, could finally bring them together, and with both of their families present, they tied the knot. They moved back home to the house that Rudolph had built her, and 11 months later, their first child, Henry, was born. I'm going to let you guys do the math on that one. Henry was my great-grandfather. As time went on, they had two more kids, John Lewis, who everybody just called Louie, and Marguerite. Business went on, but Rudolph started hearing rumors of something called the Prohibition, and he knew what this was going to mean for his bar. He decided to invest in a ranch that him and his wife could retire to once the kids were out of the house and he didn't need to run the business anymore. He brought over a young man from Switzerland named Fred Boddy to run and take care of the ranch while he was still in town working, taking care of his kids. But unfortunately, Rudolph would never see the day that he could retire to this ranch. In 1915, he died due to complications with his arthritis. This loss understandably shook the family. Henry, his oldest child, was only 16 at the time, and since Elizabeth, his wife, was a woman, and women couldn't own businesses back then, she was forced to sell the bar. She lived off the money that he left her and the money from this bar for a while as her children started growing up and having adventures of their own. Marguerite, her daughter, married a German man. Louis stayed home and took care of her, and great-grandpa Henry went off and became a pretty successful engineer. Rumor has it he may have even worked on the Manhattan Project. But don't tell anyone I told you that. He would send back money every single week to his aging mother, and even after she died, he continued to help and support his family. Henry only had one daughter, and her name was Margaret. Margaret had a son. His name was Michael. And Michael had a son, too. And that son has just finished telling you his story.